In 1956, growing public unease led the AEC to establish a committee to examine the long-term health risks of atomic tests, specifically the effects of strontium-90. But how, the researchers thought, could they possibly begin this study for the future health of humanity when they were dealing with such an unknown substance? All they really knew was that strontium-90 was chemically similar to radium. There is only a limited pool of people that have had exposure to internal radiation, a radioactivity specialist said. If anything happens in our up-and-coming nuclear age, these people are about the only starting point that anyone has. The dial painters were needed to help once more. They seemed Cassandra-like in their powers, able to predict for scientists the likely long-term health effects of this new radioactive danger. Something that happened far in the past, an AEC official said, is going to give us a look far into the future. He termed the women of incalculable value. Their suffering would provide vital insight with implications for hundreds of millions of people all over the world. In a spookily prophetic letter, Pearl Payne had once written, "My history is unusual and may be of interest to medical men of the future." She could never have anticipated just how right she was. Medical studies began immediately, including in New Jersey and Illinois. Later, the research would be amalgamated into the Center for Human Radiobiology, CHR, which was located in a multi-million-dollar clinic called the Argonne National Laboratory, based 75 miles from Ottawa. Here, special lead-lined vaults were constructed, buried under 3 feet of concrete and 10 feet of earth, in which the dial painters' body burdens, the amount of radium inside them, were measured. The research was designed to help future generations and called essential to the security of the nation. "If we can determine the long-term effects of radium," one of the scientists said, "we're quite sure we can predict the long-term, low-level effects of fallout." Scientists were seeking to give the world an exact guide on safe radioactivity by studying all dial painters who can be found. There were dial painters still living, albeit with a time bomb ticking in their bones. Dr. Martland had already explained why they had survived thus far. Radium was known to settle in the girls' bones and known to cause late-onset sarcomas. But when such deadly tumours might begin to grow was the factor that remained mysterious, like a dark trick. Radium had not given away all its secrets just yet. The hunt to find those living dial painters now began in earnest. "Wanted, radium workers of the Roaring Twenties," read the headlines. Employment records were procured and snapshots of those long-ago USRC picnics unearthed. The company photograph, taken on the steps of Radium Dial, became a vital source of clues. The scientist pronounced, "Each of these persons is worth her weight in gold to science." The girls were termed a reservoir of scientific information. In an eerie echo of the women's treatment when they sued their former firms, private investigators were hired to track them down. Those they found, they often found willing. "She said she would be very happy to do it. Anything for science," a memo recorded. Those dial painters who were still working for USRC participated anonymously, for fear of jeopardising their jobs. There were some who didn't want to stir things up. "Miss Anna Callahan does not know she has radium poisoning, and her family does not want her to know," read one note. Another woman was reluctant to be measured for radium, as the scientists couldn't do anything about it anyway.